This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
And as October is Pets Month on Brooklands Radio, Jackie Mitchell talks to Annie Connolly from Cherry Horse Welfare International.
Hello there, Annie.
Hi.
Thanks very much for joining us and welcome to the Just Women show.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited about this, I have to say.
Oh, that's great. We always like excited guests. Before we get going about your charity and what it does and how it helps horses, it would be really interesting to hear a bit about your background, because you were a former Great Britain international athlete, weren't you? Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah. When, I guess, very, very late teens, early 20s, my whole world was running and athletics. So I very much lived, the athlete's lifestyle, travelling around the place. And yeah, I was very lucky to compete for England and Great Britain. I wouldn't say necessarily at sort of world level. I certainly was able to compete on the European stage, but I was a little bit off being able to really get in the mix of it on sort of a world stage. But ran for my country for quite a few years. So it was an interesting time.
And one of your amazing achievements was winning the European Cross Cup in Luxembourg while captaining your national team, England.
Absolutely. I did. And even though it was quite a while ago now, it's you just mentioning that, just it puts a big smile on my face. Yes, I did. It was an interesting meet for lots of different reasons. I was there alongside Paula Radcliffe, and it was a really amazing day. I wasn't expected to win it, but I did. It was a very challenging course, which sort of lent itself to me and my style of running. And yeah, I captained England and I won, and the team, we won as a team as well. So it was pretty amazing. So it definitely goes down as one of my all-time, I think, most memorable events and races for sure.
Wow, sounds very, very exciting. So what happened then? When did you decide to retire as an athlete?
I think it's for most athletes, I think most athletes will sort of tell you it's not really a decision necessarily that you make. It's sadly for me, it was taken away from me. I had a couple of issues. The main issue was injury. But that's part and parcel of being an athlete. I think what makes true athletes or the great athletes are those that can actually deal with the downtime. So those that can lose well, which I know sounds a bit of a contradiction, but certainly those that can lose well and those that can deal with the injuries and the downtimes. And sadly for me, that was something I really, really, really struggled with. So I guess I didn't have the mental maturity to be able to get me to that next level. I couldn't deal with being injured. And as a consequence, I tried to come back too soon, too quickly. I ignored, I guess, advice that I was being given, and because I was so desperate for it and I was so desperate not to have too much time out. And in the end, I almost had, I guess, a bit of a mental breakdown more than anything, really. So I kind of feel that it was almost a decision taken away from me.
And so when was that? When did you give up athletics?
So I was around 21, 22, so still very young. And then a few years ago, probably, maybe 2010, I was running some pretty decent 10K and half marathon times, only in training. But I decided then, right, okay, I've grown up a little bit. I think I could probably, let's see what I can do. And again, the body just broke down. But I then took up triathlon.
Oh, my word. How incredible.
Yeah, and ended up being quite, and ended up weirdly being okay at that. I think I recorded, without even trying, one of the quickest times for my age group. So obviously I'm getting on a little bit now, of my age group. So I've got something physically, but my body sadly just breaks down when I get to the real crux, when it's when I really need to put in quality work, my body just generally tends to break down. But I've got it in my mind now, but sadly my body's not caught up.
Okay, and so what job did you end up doing then before you set up your horse charity?
So I, the mentoring side of athletics, I've got quite a lot of deep sort of feelings towards junior athletes and athletics and how complex and complicated it is. So I got into sort of working alongside some junior athletes and then doing some strength and conditioning work for international athletes, not necessarily runners, but just going into working and coaching young athletes. So and then from that, I ended up being a personal trainer. So training, lots of different types of people. So I've always worked in health and fitness pretty much my whole career, really. Okay. So that's what it just naturally lent itself to, that it's what I'd always known. That's where I ended up moving into.
Okay. And have you always been interested in horses?
Absolutely always. I was always the girl that when the ponies were walking down the road outside past my house, I would run every time to the window and just gaze out at the windows at the horses. I was born in the year of the horse, and I cannot tell you what it is about them. I've had the most unbelievable connection to them as far back as I can remember. Yeah.
Right. And so when you're in Romania and you saw all these suffering horses, you saw 20,000 horses in a 10-mile radius and only one equine vet. So you were so horrified by this. What did you do?
Yeah, so I was out on a mission with dogs because I got involved with rescuing dogs from Romania and working a little bit with some of the rescues out there. And it was whilst I was there, it was obviously incredibly apparent to me that that there was there's an issue with the dogs, but what on earth is going on with the horses? It was sights that I'd certainly never seen before. It was sights that I kind of presumed, even though Romania is a fairly poor country, still I considered it to be at least a developed country, and just didn't think that things like this would happen and I would see things like this. So I had a meeting whilst I was out there with a charity that I'd gone out to see because I was going to collaborate with another dog project with them. And they had a horse section to their to the dog charity, and I was just talking to them about what they do and how can we develop this and can I be involved. And that it was from there that Cherry morphed, really. So I realized that there's a lot of with horses, it's very difficult. You kind of almost have to go to them. So that's where the outreach program was born. And sadly, I rescued an ex-race horse called Cherry.
Yes. Can we hear a bit about her, please?
So
back to the UK. And what made you buy her?
Right. Well, I bought her before. So before I'd gone out to Romania, I'd bought her and I wasn't very well. I've got an autoimmune condition. And at the time it was undiagnosed and I wasn't exactly sure what was wrong with me. And I had this overwhelming feeling that I actually wasn't going to make it. I thought I was going to die.
Oh, dear.
And I'd always had this thing of, oh, one day I'm going to get a horse. One day I'm going to get a horse. And when you're sort of faced with something like that, you think, well, when is this day going to come? All we have is now. There's no other time, you know? And I went out and bought the most inappropriate horse you could ever imagine. I wasn't amazing at riding. And I went and rescued an ex-race horse. And that's where I learned about the realities of horse racing as well. And so I bought her and she had lots of issues and lots of problems as she, you know, she was not in great shape, but
yes. And she said she'd been overhorsed. Could you explain what you mean by that?
Oh, me, overhorsed. Yeah. So she was too much for my ability. So at the time I wasn't brave. I wasn't a great rider. I didn't really understand necessarily how to bring a horse on or how to work with a horse. I just, at that time, I was treating almost like a dog, really. Which you can't, you know, I just thought had her really as a bit of a pet, but we taught each other. So she taught me, I applied certain things to her, which I picked up and learnt along the way. And I learned all about her, about her characteristics, and we learned and we grew together. And she's made me into, I'm pretty okay now with horses. I pretty much, let's just say she's made me a reasonable horse person. And
yes, because when you got her, people said to you that she was dangerous and would end up killing you. So how did you manage to develop a bond with her?
That's absolutely correct. And that's another thing that led me to develop the charity, was the frivolous nature within the horse world and within the horse community. She was considered dangerous because she didn't comply. So the first, it seemed nothing to them to turn around to me, who loved her, and said, "You need to shoot it." I kept being told that all the time, "Shoot it." And this was terminology. I didn't realize that this kind of thing went on. And, you know, and, she ended up actually breaking her leg. And again, after that, there was a very difficult decision to make. Do I have her put to sleep or do I try to get her better? And we decided to do everything we could and we got her better. And it was actually during that, you know, me nearly losing her, that made me realize I absolutely love this horse. There is so much to her. She gives everything and she's got this will and desire to live. And she's got this will and desire to please me. I just need to understand her. So it was rehabilitating her through her injury that where our bond just became something I will always be grateful for.
And sadly, she passed on. And then you made her a promise that you would help other horses. When was that?
So in 2018, I'd just come back from Romania, and she colicked, and there was nothing at all we could do at all. And the decision had to be made to have her put to sleep. And the vets sort of suggested that I shouldn't be there because it's not the nicest of things. But I made a promise to her that I would be there for her, you know, right to the very end. And she literally was in my arms, and it was just before the injection kind of went in. I just stroked her head, and I just said to her, thanked her for everything she's done for me. She taught me so much, and just said that, you know, her life and everything she's gone through has taught me so much. And it, none of it, she hasn't suffered in vain. And I just said to her, I'm going to do as much as I can, and I'm going to save as many horses as I possibly can and reduce the suffering to as many horses as I can in your name.
That's fantastic. And of course, that's what you've ended up doing. You set up the Cherry Horse Welfare International, which helps neglected horses in Romania and the overbreeding of thoroughbred racehorses. Can you tell us a bit about it then?
Yes. Yeah, so the UK arm of it, so trying to reduce or trying to work with the racing industry, I haven't managed to get that necessarily off the ground as yet. That's something, because of Cherry, that's something I want to go into, but I'm finding that quite difficult. But the UK arm is where at the moment, because it's taken a little bit of a shift because of COVID, I'm trying to develop a food bank type system for over here in the UK to be able to, so that horses aren't suffering long term for a potential short term problem. So unfortunately, we're seeing an awful lot of horses at the moment being seriously neglected and ending up in dreadful, horrible situations because their owners simply don't have the funds or the money right here and right now to be able to take care of them properly. So my outreach program, which runs out in Romania, I think we need something over here in the UK very, very similar. And that's what I'm trying to get up and running here too.
Excellent. And how can listeners help the charity?
So at the moment, they can help by, if they go onto my website, which I'll give you in a second, you can donate. And there's always projects going on. It's the outreach program in Romania is running constantly. There's always horses out there needing our help. Or in here in the UK at the moment, I've just done a winter rug collection. So it's a nationwide collection of horse rugs, which I'm currently just boxing up and packaging up and sending out to Romania for the working horses in Romania, and also some of the rescue horses as well, so that they've got some kind of shelter. Because over in Romania, they don't have rugs like we have here. They don't have the majority of them don't have stabling, and the temperatures can go down to, when I was there, it was down to something like ridiculous, like minus 20. So I'm packaging up rugs. So if anybody's got any head collars, rugs, lead ropes, anything like that at all, spare, hanging around, then get in touch with me. My email is on my website, and then I will arrange collection, and then I will get it shipped out to Romania for my project. And I cannot tell you how useful and how important that is. That makes, and my main aim was suffering, to reduce suffering, and things like this, that's what they do. It helps to make their lives just that little bit easier.
That's fantastic, Annie. Well, thank you so much for coming in and telling us all about that. Would you like to give us your website details, please, so that people can get more information?
Yep, sure. So my website is www.cherryhorsewelfareinternational.org, and there's everything on there, little bits and pieces of what we've done, what we're doing, and then a contact me. And anybody that thinks they can help, or has, you know, or would like to be involved in any way, please contact me. Because sometimes those that want to help with animal welfare sometimes feel a little bit lost, and I've been there. So contact me and you can happily be involved, and we can make a difference.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Annie.
Thank you so much. It was great talking to you, and thank you very much.
That was Annie Connolly from Cherry Horse Welfare International.
Thank you, Jackie and Annie. Some of the projects Cherry Horse Welfare International are involved with are amazing.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio.